Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What's going on, and welcome into a Friday edition of the Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek. I'm Daniel Salerson. Hope everyone is well. Hope everyone is getting their king cake as carnival season is upon us. 12th night last night inside the Smoothie King Center as the Pelicans got a big win over the Golden State Warriors 101-96. To help me recap it, I welcome in, as always, Jamaican Offer of Pelicans.com. And fresh out of health and safety protocols, Todd Graffanini, who is now 1-0 post health and safety protocols, and that's the only record we're going to go by for the remainder of the season, as long as we continue to put W's on the board. Todd, first of all, how was it last night for you? I know it was probably a little different after missing five games, but nonetheless, a good luck charm for you. Help the Pelicans get a victory.
Yeah, it was good to get back at it, Daniel. And it's like I always say, you can't win them all if you don't win the first. So let's go undefeated here the rest of the way. No, it was a lot of fun. Good to get back. Getting the win was very, very important, obviously. You know, I know Golden State was shorthanded, but, you know, like we always say, look, that's the way it is right now. You got to take advantage. You know, John DeShazer and I talked a lot about it last night. I mean, if you were going to get them, last night was the time to get them with no Steph Curry and no Draymond Green. So they're not going to look back at it at the end of the season and say, hey, Golden State didn't have these guys out when they tally up the wins. So Pels were able to get it done. Got a little dicey down the stretch, but we're able to hold on and get the W.
Yeah, as you say, that's a them problem. And that was certainly the case last night for Golden State. And Jim, we talked about on the post-game show, and I know Todd and JD mentioned it, it was not a game that will be sent to Springfield, Massachusetts at the Basketball Hall of Fame as far as an instant classic. But the Pelicans have had a hard time closing out games, especially during these last three. And they've been in every ball game with the Bucks and the Jazz and the Suns, just haven't been able to get there over the hump. But last night, despite the poor shooting, they were able to get the win. I feel like that still says a lot about them. Even though they're not shooting well, still able to grab a W last night was crucial.
Yeah, as I like to say from time to time, there's no pictures in the standings. They just tally it up, and that's all there is to it. We don't need to be aesthetically pleasing, and the Pelicans certainly were not last night. But like you said, we could say this about a lot of different categories and a lot of different aspects of the season, but I think they've gotten better at being able to come up with some of these wins when they don't have really good offensive games. So that was definitely the case last night. It seemed like there was a lid on the basket, especially in the first half, in the first few minutes of the first quarter. I think it was like 6-3. It was like a football score after the first 5 minutes or so. But regardless, I mean, the most important thing was to get a win, and they did that, so we can be happy moving forward into this weekend.
Absolutely. Someone that needed to have a good game and did have one was Brandon Ingram last night, 8-36 in the first two games of this homestand. 14-20, I believe, last night, if I'm correct, or 12-20, and my numbers are running through me. But either way, 32 points for him tonight. I'll start with you, Jim, then go with Todd. It just seemed like his flow was better. Maybe, I don't know, shot selection was any different for him, but his rhythm, he got into it a little earlier, and it seemed like after that, he kind of picked up where he left off before he got into the little shooting slump.
Yeah, I thought at the beginning of the game, even though everyone was having a hard time putting the ball in the basket when it was 6-3. I want to say two of the three baskets that the Pelicans had were Ingram had a driving layup, and then he had another play where he got all the way to the rim, missed the shot, but tipped it back in. So, I mean, it seemed like right off the bat he was making an effort to get to the basket and not have it just be mid-range shots or difficult contested jumpers, which I think might have been part of why he was struggling in the first couple games that he came back from the injury, other than the fact that, like I just said, he was coming back from being out for a couple games. So that part of it, I think, was important for him to, and really it kind of spread throughout the whole team as the night went on, that you could tell nobody was really making shots. Gary Clark might've been one of the exceptions to that, where he made some threes, but otherwise it was like, put your head down, get into the paint, get to the basket, get to the free throw line, because that's the way that offense is going to be generated. And really that was a huge reason why they were able to score enough in the second half to win.
And Todd, what was interesting about Brandon Ingram last night in the way that the Warriors approached him, they put him in a box and one at some points during the game too. So, you know, for a guy that, you know, is, you know, arguably one of the best players on the Pelicans, the fact that they couldn't even figure out a way to guard him and have to put him in that box and one shows what type of player Brandon Ingram is.
Yeah, it's the old Dale Brown freak defense that, yeah. that they put on him. No, look, you know, the thing about Brandon is, and we've said this a lot over the last couple of years, you know, it's very, very difficult for the Pelicans to win if he's not scoring. I mean, that's just the way it is. And it was just really disappointing that he was playing so well before that Oklahoma City game, where he had to come out and he had the Achilles soreness. I mean, the way he played last night is the way he was playing prior to the injury. And I don't think there's a doubt in your mind, my mind, or Jim's mind that the Pels would have won that Oklahoma City game if Brandon Ingram was playing like he had been prior to him. I mean, he didn't score in that game and, of course, only played, five, 6 minutes before coming out. So his rhythm really got disrupted with the Achilles soreness. So that's the thing. It took him a couple of games to get back. But like we saw, you know, you're not going to beat Utah. You're not going to beat Phoenix if Brandon Ingram scoring 10 points. Or 14 points. He's got to be at the 22 to 25 range each and every night, because again, I mean, we're just being honest right now, guys, there's just not enough firepower on this team to pick up the slack. I mean, you can see it, you know, ever so often, like Devontae Graham could have a 28 point night. But again, we saw last night, Devontae struggled. So you need Brandon Ingram's consistency on a night in and night out basis until, you know, the rest of the offense really picks up.
Going to consistency, I feel like you're starting to get that consistency from Herbert Jones. And consistently, it's been on the defensive end, but you're really starting to see him start filling up the stat sheet on the offensive end as well, at least getting into double figures every night. And if you can get that from him, along with the defense, a career-high 5 steals last night, then, boy, you are in great shape for a rookie that was picked 35 overall. I feel like, Todd, I'll start with you and go to Jim. That rookie of the year, that ladder that everyone's talking about, and all rookie team, Herbert Jones is starting to climb that ladder. I think people besides us in New Orleans are starting to recognize what type of player he is as a rookie.
The secret's out. I mean, it's out now. You know, we've known it pretty much from the get-go, but now it's starting to get some national recognition here, what the impact is. And it's just, you know, when he is on the floor, good things happen. That's the bottom line on both ends. And like you said, Daniel, he's starting to get a lot more confident on the offensive end. His cutting to the basket, even in the last 3 or so weeks, we have seen him really get to the rim. He's starting again to not think about taking that outside shot, even though he had his foot on the line 2 more times last night. But still, he's just letting it go. He's not thinking about what he's doing on the offensive end. He's just doing it. And that's when you start basically doing things instinctively and not thinking about it, that means you're getting over the hump in that aspect. We already knew what he could do defensively. If he starts rounding out to an offensive where he's getting double figures every night, you got a serious player right there.
What are you seeing from Herbert Jones, Jim?
Yeah, I think Graf mentioned it as far as the words out. I was impressed by the comments that Donovan Mitchell made after the Utah game earlier this week, as well as Mike Conley. I mean, the players understand better than anyone, like who really can play and who are some of the guys that have the highest basketball IQ. So I've just been impressed by how quickly that Herb has adapted to the NBA. and Graf didn't leave me a lot. He covered everything I was going to say, but
I haven't talked in 2 weeks, Jim. I mean, I gotta get a lot out of him.
Totally understandable. You're completely forgiven for that. But the improvement that Herb has made in terms of offense, I think is mostly just from a confidence standpoint. I think he was always pretty sure of himself and understood that he could accomplish some good things on offense at the beginning of the season even, but he's definitely taken that to a different level. And I think realized that, you know, when he goes to the basket, that there's not many guys that are going to block his shot. So, I mean, he had a play last night on a fast break where he jumped from, like, it seemed like the dotted line in the paint and soared in for a slam. So, I mean, how can you not be just so happy with the way that he's been playing and just the progress that he's already made? And we're not even halfway through his rookie season.
And we're starting to see Herb Jones jerseys in the stands now, too.
Yes. It's about time. We certainly have needed them. The demand for them has been through the roof. And yes, the Herb Jones jerseys are everywhere. Not on Herb is definitely a trend in the New Orleans area. And let's talk about, I guess, also the schedule for the Pelicans now. Look, I mean, yeah, they went 1-3 this past week, if you're including the Milwaukee game. But man, just a brutal schedule for the Pelicans. To start 2022, and you're facing the likes of the Milwaukee Bucks, the Utah Jazz, the Phoenix Suns, and then the Golden State Warriors, despite them being shorthanded, still a very talented team. Now, I don't want to say it lightens up, but it gets to a point where this is a chance for the Pelicans, I feel like, to get on maybe a possible winning streak here. You're going to go into Toronto on Sunday, and look, you're going to basically avoid any sort of, I guess, feel like a true road game, because I don't think there's going to be any fans there, or if it is, it's going to be very limited. And then you're back home for two games against the Minnesota Timberwolves team that has had your number for two of the three ball games. And then you've had the number of the Clippers next Thursday, and they're still going to be without Kawhi Leonard, and they're also probably going to be without Paul George. So Todd, I'll start with you. This is a chance for the Pelicans here that, especially, I know you don't like to go through the standings right now as far as where they're at, but they are a couple games out, and this could be another chance for them before they hit the road to really do some damage.
No, going through the standings is the gym department. That's now look, I'm not, you know, I haven't gone really into detail on my Toronto stuff yet. I know we're playing them on Sunday. We got a couple days prior to that, but my understanding is they're just starting to get some of their guys back. So I know they're playing much, much better. They had a big win just a couple of nights ago. So they're playing well. Minnesota is going to be when they came in here and basically rolled up on us, that Willie Green was not happy at all after that Minnesota win in the Smoothie King Center. So that's maybe a little bit of a revenge game right there. And then, of course, the Clippers, for whatever reason, the Pels have matched up against them. What's it, four in a row now the Pels have beaten the Clippers? So, you know, that has been a favorable matchup. And again, they've no Kawhi and no Paul George. So you've got an advantage right there. So we'll see. I think the game on Sunday, though, is a swing game, if you will. I mean, if you could go on the road and get that one, like you said, you've got an advantage there, because it's a very tough place to play. But if no fans are there, that diminishes the advantage considerably for the Raptors. If you can go up there on Sunday and get that one, you've got an opportunity to, you know, finish the homestand up before we go on that long road trip next Friday, going to Brooklyn, Boston, and New York. So I think Sunday's the biggie. Cause here's the thing too, guys, Pels are playing better at home. I think they're playing as well at home this year as they have in the 3 years that I've been in with the team. No question. I think we're starting to see finally a home court advantage in the Smoothie King Center.
Yeah, you know, I agree wholeheartedly that the Toronto game, to me, among the group of teams that they're about to play, is the team that's playing the best. I mean, they got Pascal Siakam back, and they have, you know, Van Vliet playing at a really high level. They play with a ton of energy, even though, you know, they haven't had fans at their home games. I've watched a couple of their games lately where they've been running teams off the court. So I think that's one of the things that the Pelicans need to be wary of, is transition defense and making sure that they match the energy that the Raptors have. So, but I want to fulfill my obligation as lined out by Mr. Graffanini as far as the standings go. And I think it's interesting, you know, Todd, it's his right as an American to not have to follow the standings. That's fine. We're only in, you know, January, early January at that. So, but I mean, the Pelicans are going into this weekend, only two games out of the 10th place spot, which is the last play-in tournament spot. And San Antonio is in 10th and has two very difficult road games before the Pelicans even get back on the court. So, I mean, unless the Spurs, and the Spurs are very capable of winning tough games on the road, which we've seen, they won at Golden State not that long ago. They've had some other really good wins, but unless the Spurs win either at Philly or at Brooklyn before the Pelicans even play, that margin could actually be one game before New Orleans even plays Toronto, which would be really nice and something that I would look at. I know Graf doesn't want to focus on that too much, and that's fine. But I mean, I would be encouraged by that. Another team that's ahead of New Orleans, Sacramento, is playing at Denver, which is a pretty tough game. So, I mean, the Pelicans could gain ground on them as well before they even take the court against the Raptors. But in terms of New Orleans's upcoming schedule, I forget who it was. Someone used the term about the NBA, the gang of 500, referring to the fact that there's so many teams that are right around the 500 mark. It seems like it's more than usual this year. I'm not sure if I have any scientific data to back that up. It just seems like there's so many teams that are, you know, they'll win a couple games, get over 500, go lose a couple games, get under 500, that have been kind of wavering back and forth. Toronto is a really good example of that, where from week to week, you never know whether they're going to be above or below 500. But between Toronto, Minnesota, who's pretty similar to that and has had some really streaky stretches, the Clippers have been that way. And even if you go further into the month, the three-game road trip, East Coast trip, starts with Brooklyn, which, you know, obviously is one of the best teams in the league. But then they play, the Pelicans play Boston and New York on that trip. And those are, again, two teams that are in the gang of 500 that are hovering around the break-even point. And you never really know from week to week of where exactly they're going to be. So I just think this stretch of games for New Orleans is going to be really interesting, just because there's a lot of opponents that you don't really know for sure what you're going to get from them from night to night. And obviously the Pelicans hope that they get the weaker, bad version of some of these teams when they play them. But I'm really curious to see how they can do over this next stretch, because they're playing a bunch of teams that just all fit that definition of who the heck knows what they're going to do from game to game.
And just to kind of piggyback on that, Jim, as far as the standings go, look, I know we're joking about it, but as long as you can avoid, you know, the long losing streak, you know, I know we've lost three in a row this week, but again, very tough stretch. That's why last night was so important to get that win, just to stop the streak. But if you can get, you know, look, how much ground did the Pels make up in just a modest four game winning streak, you know, a couple of weeks ago? If you can string some wins together, avoid, you know, losing two, three in a row, you're going to make up ground. The standings are going to take care of themselves just because of what you just said. I mean, no one is going to get on one of those 10, 11 game winning streaks where they're going to pull away from the pack. That's just not the nature of the NBA right now. You've got two really elite teams in the West, and we've just seen them one last night and one two nights prior to that. That's Golden State and Phoenix. Everybody else is beatable in my mind. I mean, even Utah. I mean, Utah, they're just basically the same team that we've seen for the last however many years. Denver's a good team, but if Jokic isn't on the floor, they're a very average team. I think we've seen that as well. So I just don't think you're going to, you've got a situation now where you can't make up a lot of ground in a very short amount of time. If you can just get on not even a 4 or 5 game winning streak, win 3 of 4, win 4 of 5, 2 of 3. That's how you make up ground, because we still have a long way to go in this season.
Who doesn't love some good scoreboard watching on January 7th, right? I love it. I'm with Jim. I'm all about it. I look up at the schedule, see who's playing in front of us, just see who we can gain some ground on, especially after a win, and we don't play it for a couple days. So no matter what, we're going to gain some ground on someone before we play the Toronto Raptors on Sunday. So
I'll leave that to you two guys.
Okay.
I'll leave it to you.
We'll leave you a spreadsheet every day heading into our next game and just let you roll, look through it. Guys, I really appreciate it. Todd, welcome back. Really glad to have you back last night. Let's do it again on Sunday against the Toronto Raptors. It'll be Todd and myself, actually from the Smoothie King Center. We're going to do a little remote broadcast so none of us get stuck in Canada. And Jim, I appreciate it. As always, we'll talk to you on the podcast on Monday. And hopefully we're talking about a Pelicans win.
Yeah, great. Great to talk with you guys. I was just joking with somebody the other day that if I was in Canada and I got stuck there, it would be very difficult for the border security to keep me from sneaking across to the American side, considering where I grew up is only a few hours from Toronto. So I don't know if I would be able to follow the laws. So I guess it's just as well that I'm not going to be on the trip and not risk having to do that.
The last thing we need is Jim on Canada's most wanted list. That's for sure. Guys, I appreciate it. That'll do it for this week's edition of the Pelicans podcast. We had some great podcasts this week, and we'll have some more for you next week as the Pelicans, again, Sunday against Toronto, 5 p.m. Central Time on Bally Sports New Orleans or ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. Timberwolves on Tuesday and the Clippers on Thursday. Until then, for Jim and Todd, I'm Daniel Salerson. Have a great weekend and go Pels.